Well, let me welcome all of you here today, this afternoon, to this special Thanksgiving and funeral service for the life of our dear brother, Mr. Alwyn Evans. As a congregation in session and committee, the church especially sympathise with his dear wife, Ivorine, his two sisters, Dorothy and Margaret, and their respective families. The family really do appreciate your presence with them today, to help them in this, their time of mourning. They also want to thank any who have contacted them, showed support over the last 9 months, but especially in more recent times since Alwyn's passing. It's greatly appreciated. Special thanks also go to Foyle Hospice, who cared for Alwyn in the last week of his life, and also the Northwest Cancer Centre, who cared as well for him during the latter part of his life. Special thanks as well go to the carers who came in and cared for Alwyn again during the last year of his life. Scripture reminds us in Revelation 14, verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours, and their works do follow them. And that's why we're here this afternoon. We're here to pay tribute to the life, legacy, and also the works of our brother, Alwyn Evans. We're going to commence our service by singing the first hymn in your order of service. Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod? These three hymns were well known and well loved by our brother Alwyn, and he would have often sang them and thought about them. And so we'll stand, please, whilst we sing this opening note of praise.
Glory, my Lord, full of all.
seated. To open this meeting in prayer and just commit it to the Lord, I would like to ask the Reverend Jonathan Crane to do that. The Reverend Crane served as the interim moderator of this congregation for 3.5 years, and he's also the minister in our church in Convoy. So I'd ask our brother just to open the meeting in prayer.
Let's all seek the Lord together as we call upon him in prayer at this funeral service. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, in the quietness of this moment, we come to thee in prayer and acknowledge, Lord, that thou art sovereign in life and that thou art sovereign in death. We acknowledge that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We thank thee today, O God, for thy presence with us in this funeral service. And we bless thee, O God, for every remembrance of our brother Alwyn. We thank you for the day that you saved him by your grace and you called him into your kingdom. Thank thee, O Lord, for the wisdom that was given to Alwyn. Lord, thy word tells us to be wise and make our calling and election sure. And Lord, there was a day when Alwyn recognized that this day would come for him, and he prepared to meet his Maker. We thank you, Lord, for his life and for his testimony. We bless thee for the many years of faithfulness and faithful service rendered to thee through this congregation. Every time that we came to this congregation, Alwyn was there at the door to welcome and, Lord, to make us feel at home. We thank you, God, for his witness. Recognize, Lord, that at Christmas season, Alwyn went around the area giving out calendars and speaking to men and women about their soul. Thank you, God, in heaven, for all that thou dost do through him. And thank thee, Lord, for his faithfulness in the place of prayer. And we bless thee, O God, in heaven, that we can say today, with the assurance of Scripture, absent from the body, and present with the Lord. We thank you today, O God, for the care that Alwyn received when he wasn't so well. We bless thee for the love and devotion that was shown. The hymn writer reminds us regarding the glory land that there'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness nor pain, nor parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. And Lord, we recognize that that day has already come for Alwyn, and it's because of his Savior. Thank you today for the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless thee for his love and compassion, not just for Alwyn, but for all of us in this meeting today, of how he laid down his life as a ransom upon that middle tree, so that we, when we look by faith to the Lamb of God, Lord, thou art the one who takes our sin away. And we thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Recognize that Christ died for the ungodly, and such were we. And we pray, O God, that each one here will indeed be wise. Recognize that there's a day like this coming for them. And we pray that as the gospel goes forth in this funeral service, Lord, that sinners will be made aware by thy Spirit's power of their need to prepare. They'll come the Calvary Road and be born again of the Spirit of God. We pray for Ivorine today. Thank you, God, for your mercies to her. Thank you, Lord, for her love and for her faithfulness till death us do part. And we ask our Father that thou wilt uphold her at this most difficult of times and in this most difficult of days for her. We ask that the comfort that the Lord alone can give will uphold her and sustain her. And that, Father in heaven, thy word, as it is made known today, and as she reads it in the days that lie ahead, will indeed prove to be a rock. And that, Father in heaven, that thou wilt go before her and meet her every need. Remember Alwyn's sisters, all in the family circle. We pray that Lord, as memories would come back, that thou wilt comfort them and be pleased, our Father, to knit the family circle together in the Saviour. The hymn writer asks the question, will the circle be unbroken? And we pray, O God, that thou wilt speak to one and all in this funeral service. And be pleased, our Father, to visit us with thy great salvation. Give help to the Reverend Patterson as he would conduct the funeral here in the church and all of the proceedings of this day. Lord, may thy Spirit abide upon him. And we pray that thou wilt speak through the word that is made known. May thy word be very precious this particular day. We ask, O God, that thou wilt presence thyself with us. Help us to worship thee. Lord, we recognize that in the midst of life we are in death. And, O God, in the solemnity of this funeral service, draw very near to each one of us. And we pray that as Amos exhorts us to do in his prophecy, prepare to meet thy God. Lord, may business be done with thee this afternoon. Give help to all who take part in any way in this service. And we pray that the Lord Jesus will be magnified and glorified above everything that is said and done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do thank our brother for leading us to the throne of grace this afternoon. Going to continue worshipping the Lord with the singing of the second hymn in our order of service. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, thereby his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Again, we'll stand, please, to sing this hymn.
Thank you.
approximately a year ago, Alwyn said that there was a hymn that came to his mind, and he found himself singing it around the yard and singing it around the house, I'm sure much to Ivorine's good pleasure. But in all seriousness, he said this to us, that he felt that this hymn was of great significance to him. And of course, a couple of months later, he then received the news that he was diagnosed with the illness that he was diagnosed with. He felt as if that this was the Lord preparing him for all that he would have to go through and all that he went through over the last 9 months. The hymn is entitled, "For Me to Live as Christ and to Die is Gain." And we're going to ask someone just to sing the words of that hymn that meant so much to Alwyn, especially in this last year. And our brother Stephen Greer, who is from our church in Ballymena, is going to sing for us. I want to thank our brother for singing that lovely piece for us, and I'm sure that you'll agree with me it was very touching and also very fitting in this celebration of Alwyn's life today. Just want to leave a few verses with you from Scripture. Alwyn, of course, was a very, very ardent and strong Christian, and he had a tremendous testimony, and I think that was really his testimony. The words that our brother has just sang, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And as I was thinking about Alwyn, I thought about another man in the Bible who wrote down his testimony. And I just want to read the verses that he wrote down and then share something of his testimony as he wrote it in the Bible. we're talking about the man named the Apostle Paul, and he wrote his testimony in many different places in the Bible, but in Philippians chapter 3, in the opening 12 verses, he wrote his testimony to the church at Philippi, and I just want to read those verses to you and then leave a few thoughts with you concerning them. Philippians 3, verses 1 through 12, we read there, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to each of our hearts. Before we come to the word of God, we'll just briefly bow again in prayer and ask for him to speak to us from his word today. Lord, we do thank you already for your presence with us thus far. We thank thee, O God, for the singing of these wonderful hymns, and Lord, the singing of our brother. We thank thee, O God, that the theme has been safety in Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, Lord, for the fact that Alwyn is now safe in thine arms. And we thank thee for his legacy, for me to live as Christ, and to die is gain. And, O Lord, we just pray that thou wilt bless thy word to all of our hearts today. Lord, thou knowest the consolation, comfort that we need, that we seek. We thank thee, O God, that we come to one who is revealed as the God of all grace and the God of all comfort. We thank you, O God, that we sorrow not as those that have no hope. Lord, we thank you for the hope of the gospel. We praise thee for the one who said, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." We thank thee, O God, for the comfort that's found in Jesus Christ. And we pray today that thou wilt give us grace, Lord, not only to lift up Alwyn, his life, his legacy, and the works which follow him, but, Lord, to lift up Alwyn's Saviour, Lord, who lift up the one who ultimately Alwyn loved serving. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 3, and Paul said in verse 8, really giving his testimony, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." On the 22nd of November, 1945, Alwyn Evans was born into this world. His parents were Samuel and Julia Evans. Now, though Alwyn spent his life up there in the farm and the family home, Alwyn was born, interestingly, in Nurse McCabe's old nursing home. Now, the reason I say interestingly is because Ivorine also was born there. And whenever Ivorine and Alwyn eventually got together, and the mother-in-law, well, they were talking, and they discerned, obviously, that the details of where they were born, they actually believe, when they were describing the details and so on, they actually believe that Ivarine and Olwen were born in exactly the same room. So it seems that Olwen and Ivarine were destined to be together even from birth. Olwen was raised in his parents' home, where, as I've said, he later himself would stay and eventually live whenever he married Ivarine. He attended a local primary school in Killaloe, where he would have walked across the fields to get to and from the farm. In secondary school, he attended Fochan Valley, and towards the beginning of his working days, he also worked in Crook's hardware store. But of course, if you know Olwen, as well as I'm sure you do, Olwen's heart was always for the farm. He began milking on the farm before making the great change from dairy to sheep in later years. Then, of course, as he got older, he still sold hay from the farm. It was in his early 20s that he began to attend our old church there in the mill town just over 50 years ago. And it was during this time that he first set eyes on Ivarine. He eventually would marry her a few years later in 1971. As I asked Ivarine to describe Olwen, she described him in two ways. He was very fun and very faithful. And I think that sums up Olwen very, very nicely indeed. Very, very fun and very faithful. It was in 1968, whilst attending a missionary meeting in Coleraine, and there was a missionary there, a man by the name of Mr. White, he was speaking, that Olwen actually became a Christian. Whenever he was exercised about the things of God and about his soul, he was worried and he wanted to speak to the minister afterwards. And of course, when you go to do that, well, it's nice to take someone with you. And whenever Olwen looked around, who did he see? Well, he saw Ivarine. Now, at this time, Ivarine and Olwen weren't even an item yet. They weren't even going out. So I can't help but think that Olwen had ulterior motives whenever he took Ivarine with him to discuss those things with the minister. But in all seriousness, Olwen had a bright and shining testimony for the Lord. Olwen loved Christ. From that day on, in 1968, he loved Christ, and he served him in many, many different ways. He served him very faithfully in this church. He was a committee member. I was trying to discern when he actually came on to the committee. It's very, very hard to do that. But he served, I believe, really from the inception of the church, and he served then for many, many decades as a member of committee. He lived to serve Christ. He was a very, very faithful attender of this church. I've been the minister of this church for over 2 years, and Olwen contracted his illness when I had been here for a year and a half. And I was trying to think of a meeting that Olwen wasn't there, but I have to be honest with you folks, I just couldn't remember. I couldn't remember a meeting that Olwen wasn't here. Whether it was a Sunday service, morning or evening, whether it was a midweek prayer meeting, whether it was a special week of meetings or special missions or harvest services or the week of prayer that we have at the beginning of the year, I genuinely couldn't remember a meeting that Olwen missed before his illness. He also loved to give out gospel calendars, and I'm sure that there are individuals in here this afternoon, and you can testify to that. You probably received calendars every year at the turn of the year from Olwen. Olwen was a real character, and he also had a bright testimony for the Lord. And here in these verses, Paul is essentially writing his testimony and writing his own personal experience. Now, this was something that obviously the church at Philippi knew. They had heard before, because in the opening verse that we read, he said in verse 1, "To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." So he's speaking here about writing the same things. This is something that they had heard time after time again. But the reason he did this was for their spiritual safety. He said, "For you it was safe." You see, in writing the details here, he was showing them that as they thought through some of the details, it would help them to be safe spiritually. And from verse 5 onwards, he then simply sums up his spiritual experience and writes his testimony. But I believe you could sum up the words of his testimony, Paul's testimony, in verse 8, that I may win Christ. This was Paul's aim. This was Paul's great desire in his life, simply that I may win Jesus Christ at the end of my earthly existence. And the death of Alwyn, whilst it is a loss to us, yet it is ultimately a gain for Alwyn. You see, Alwyn has now won Jesus Christ. What a thought today. That yes, it's a great, great loss. Great loss. A great loss to all who are gathered here in our own way. It's a great loss to us that Alwyn has passed away. Great loss in terms of his family. Great loss in terms of his friendship, or even as a farming contact, it is a great loss. Great loss to us all. Great loss to us even here as a congregation. Alwyn was always there at the door. I think his motto text in life was, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. And it is a great loss, as I have said. But there is one person that Alwyn's passing is not a loss to, and that is Alwyn himself. You see, for him, it is absent from the body and present with the Lord. And he has now won Jesus Christ. And just for a few moments, I want to leave a few simple thoughts about Paul's testimony as the testimony of Alwyn. First thing I want you to think about is Paul's testimony here. In his testimony, he spoke of his religion. His religion. Verses 5 and 6, we read, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Paul was no ordinary man. If you were to pick out an individual in society who was head and shoulders above everybody else, then Paul would have been that man. He spoke of himself here as being of the stock of Israel. In other words, he was a true Israelite. He was a full-blooded Jew. He speaks here of being circumcised the eighth day. And also he speaks here of being from the tribe of Benjamin. You see, it was out of the tribe of Benjamin that Israel's first king, King Saul, came from. And I believe personally that that's why Saul's parents, who were full-blooded Jews, who were very, very religious individuals indeed, I believe that that's why they called their son Saul. They called him Saul after the first king of Israel. Paul also said in terms of his testimony, as touching the law, a Pharisee. You see, Paul belonged to a very, very special and strict sect of religion. He belonged to the Pharisees. They were the strictest sects of Judaism. They were very, very careful to adhere to the law in every way. And as you read of them, they would have added hundreds of thousands little add-ons to the Bible to ensure that they kept the law. And yet in verse 8, we read of Paul counting up all of these things, counting up the fact that he was a Pharisee, counting up the fact that he was a full-blooded Jew and circumcised the eighth day. And we read of him in these verses counting them all up. And he said in verse 7, those I counted loss for Christ. And it reminds you this afternoon that whilst religion is useful, yet when it comes to salvation, it is ultimately futile. It cannot and does not save. You see, you today, you can be faithful. You can be faithful in your church attendance. You can be faithful in church adherence and faithful in church performance. But like Paul, when it comes to salvation, it is solely Christ and Christ alone that can save. And I'm sure that if Alwyn was to give his testimony to you today, that is exactly what he would say. He would say that whilst it is good to attend church and good to be a believing individual in terms of God, yet we need to count those things but loss because it cannot save. Why do I say that? Well, the Bible says in Galatians 3, verse 22, the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. And the Bible makes it very, very clear that whether we be rich or poor, whether we be famous or infamous, no matter our standing in life, it concludes us all under sin. And no amount of effort or church attendance or adherence can cover up the sin that is within. And that's what Paul said. He said that when he counted them all up, they should have been again. What things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He said they should have been again. The fact that I had a great upbringing. The fact that I had a very, very strong belief religiously. It should have been again to me. But he said that he had to count it but loss. The word loss here, it means something that damages or something that injures. And what he was saying was this. That when I counted them up, whilst it should have been again, it actually was a great damage to me. A great injury to me spiritually. Because it was actually stopping him from trusting in Jesus Christ. He was trusting in those things to cleanse his sin. And rather than having faith in our deeds, we need ultimately to forsake our deeds, like Paul, to count them as but loss. And today, it is good to have religious beliefs, and it is good to go to church, and it is good to believe in a measure. Good to do all of these things. But if you are resting in those things, then ultimately they are a damage or they are an injury to you. Because what they actually do is they hold us back from recognizing that we have sinned and recognizing that ultimately Jesus Christ is the only one who can save. And so they can be an injury. Alwyn was a faithful attender here, as I've said. Alwyn attended very, very faithfully for 50 years. He served in the committee. He loved to serve the Lord, but all those things, they did not make him a Christian. If you were to go to the concentration camp in Auschwitz in Germany, as you would have entered into that camp, you would have read these words, Arbeit macht frei. Now, those German words mean work makes free. And the Germans were actually telling the Jews that if you come into these camps and you work, then you will eventually be set free. And it is, when you think about that spiritually, it is exactly the same with God. Works, they do not set us free. Rather, it is a lie. So Paul here, he spoke of his religion, but he also spoke of his righteousness. Verse 9, we read, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul here speaks of forsaking his own righteousness. In other words, casting it to one side. And as he cast it to one side, he then looked up to another righteousness outside of himself. He called it here the righteousness which is of God by faith. In other words, this wasn't something that he had mustered up himself or acquired himself. This was something that was totally outside of him. It was from God. A righteousness of God. What was he speaking about here? He was ultimately speaking of the death of Jesus Christ. And what he was saying was this, that it was through faith in Jesus Christ and faith in his righteousness that ultimately he was saved. And so Paul had faith in this, trust in this alone, and this was how he was righteous before God. He forsook his own righteousness, and he then laid hold upon the righteousness of God provided in Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is not in rite or ritual. Salvation is solely in the Redeemer. It is solely in Jesus Christ. Only Christ can forgive sin. He is the only one who died as both God and man. He is the only one who died for sin. And he then rose the third day, according to the scriptures, to show that he has power over death and sin. And so he alone can forgive sin. And I wonder today, what are you looking to seek forgiveness of sins? Are you looking to the work of your hands, the work even of your feet? Or are you looking solely to the work of Jesus Christ alone to save you? In Acts 4 verse 12, speaking of Christ, Peter, who is said to be the rock of the church, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, For there is none under the name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. And here's Peter, and he looks up, and what does he say? He says this, there's no other name under heaven. In other words, there's no other name on earth. Given amongst men, whereby not we might be saved, but we must be saved. He's saying it's solely Christ that can save. Again in John 14, Christ was speaking about heaven to his disciples. And in verse 5, doubting Thomas comes to him. And he said, Lord, how can we know the way? Lord, how can we know the way to heaven? And in verse 6, we read, Jesus said unto him, that's Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And whilst the world might teach many ways to heaven, the Bible states there's clearly only one. Jesus is the only way. And that's what it says, very, very plainly and clearly, folks. Jesus said, I'm the way, the way. He said, I'm the truth. He said, I am the life. And all when in 1968 at that meeting in Corrine, that's the simple truth that he grasped. That it was only through resting in Jesus Christ that he could be saved. I wonder today, have you grasped hold of that truth? You know, it is said of the ancient city of Troy that it only has one entrance and one exit. Doesn't matter how you would try to get to that city, whether you tried to sneak round the back or whatever direction you came to that city from, there is only one way in to that city. And folks, it's exactly the same with heaven. There is only one way to enter into the celestial city of glory. Paul, he spoke of a religion and his righteousness. Lastly and quickly, he spoke of his resurrection. In verses 10 and 11, he said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul here, he speaks of something wonderful. He said in life that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. What was he saying? He was saying this, that there were times in Paul's life when he suffered, and suffered greatly. He speaks here of suffering loss. Paul, he would have lost, after he became a Christian, would have lost contact with his family. Seems that they turned their back on him. Paul also, many, many times over, he was stoned. Many, many times he was left near to death. Paul suffered great loss in this life. And yet he was able to say that I might know him and his power in my life. So he speaks of a wonderful joy in the present. But he also speaks of something future here as well. He speaks here in these verses, verse 11, that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And what was he saying? He was saying this. He said, one day, not only his soul but his body would be raised. Just like the Lord Jesus, as Christ conquered death and his body was raised on the third day. So one day, too, his body would be raised and then it would go to be with Jesus Christ. You see, while salvation is a benefit in life, it is also then a great benefit in death. Because one day, the dead in Christ shall rise and rise to be with Jesus Christ. And the joy in such an occasion as this afternoon, the joy is this, is that one day, whilst all one is sown in corruption, to use the verse or the words of 1 Corinthians 15, it is raised in incorruption. One day he will be changed and be fashioned like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a bright young girl of 15, and she was suddenly cast upon a terrible bed of languishing and suffering. She was completely paralyzed on one side. She had very, very limited mobility, and she was nearly blind. And there she was at hospital. And the family and the doctor, they were gathered round the hospital bed. And she overheard the doctor say these words to the family. The poor girl, she has seen her best days. And the little girl was a Christian. And she piped up and she said, no, doctor, my best days are yet to come when I shall see the King in his beauty. And what a joy today to think that Alwyn's best days are yet to come. Now he is with the Lord. Now he is in the very presence of Christ. Now he is seeing the King in all of his beauty. What comfort that breeds to us today. I wonder today, can you say that? Can you say that we'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord, and one day you'll see the King in all of his beauty? We're going to close our service today of thanksgiving by singing the last hymn on our order of service. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And after the singing of this hymn, I'd ask the congregation just to remain standing, please. Let's stand whilst we sing. Let's stand. Just before we close, I want to remind you that the committal will take place in Altnagelvin Cemetery and refreshments will be served in the Canon Kelly Memorial Hall, just at the top of the church bray there. And if you're not going to the graveside, you can go there directly. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank thee today for every remembrance that we have of Alwyn. Thank thee, O God, that we can say, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, and their works do follow them. We thank thee, O God, that whilst Alwyn's passing is a great loss to us, we praise thee, O God, that he has passed away in the Lord, and now he is with Christ, which is far better. We thank thee, O God, that he is in the land that is fairer than day. And, O God, we praise thee that he will go to a place one day where there is no sickness, where there is no death, where there is no pain, and where there is no sorrow. Lord, we just pray that thou wilt continue to be with us throughout the rest of this day, and Lord, indeed, throughout the remainder of this week and the months that follow. Lord, as we would meditate upon Alwyn, we just pray that you will give us grace to think about his Saviour, the one who he said himself, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In Jesus' name, amen.